God. Say, God is doing marvelous things. Isn't it awesome? What an honor it is to serve in the body of Christ and to be a part of possibly the last generation on this earth. See, he saved the best wine. He saved the best wine for last. Are you part of that last generation? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was thinking of that old song. My voice is a little bit rough tonight. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands while you're seated there in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Make me a vessel of honor for God. Make me a vessel of honor for God. Sanctified, holy, so I might be a vessel of honor for God. Just a simple tune. Sing him with me. Make me a vessel of honor for God. Make me a vessel of honor for God. Sanctified, holy, so I might be a vessel of honor for God. Father, we come into your presence tonight. We thank you, Lord. We honor you tonight, Lord. We say apart from you, we can do nothing. And precious Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're already here and that you do exactly what you're placed here to do. You touch and stir the hearts of the people. You make room, even in our hearts, Lord, for the ingrafted word of God, that it would be exercised, that it would be useful in each one of our lives, that transformation would take place tonight, Lord. Father, we thank you. Our desire is not to stay where we're at, but to come up higher. You said in the house of the Lord, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Father, we thank you that we are being used in this last generation, as our precious brother testified, as a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for positioning each and every listener in this house and those that will listen by digital later, Lord. We thank you that you stir our hearts, Lord, that you move us, transform us, and change us, Lord. Equip us in every way, hallelujah, that you can look around your great cupboard in heaven and say, there's a vessel I desire to use, hallelujah. We surrender, we yield ourselves, Lord. We yield our members, as the Bible says, as instruments of righteousness in your hand, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you. We open up our spirits now to receive the precious truth of your word, Lord. Father, we just simply say we love you. We honor your word. We honor this house. We honor our pastors tonight, Lord, the great gifts you've given to this precious body. And every believer seated in your presence tonight, Lord, we honor them, Lord. They're not here by accident or by happenstance, but instead chosen for such a time as this. Hallelujah. What a privilege. What an honor it is, Lord, to be called kingdom men and women. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Use us, Lord. Anoint us, appoint us. Give divine destinies tonight, Lord. Let clarification come, Lord, where there may be cloudiness or uncertainty, Lord. Let there be determination and a stamp of your approval tonight upon the lives of the believers in this house for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' powerful name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm going to try to, man, I could go for probably months on this. I love the Word of God. I like it when the Word of God corrects you. How many like that? Isn't it good? It's one thing. I mean, sometimes people try. We want to encourage you. But, man, when God corrects you, you really can't argue with him, right? You can't see it any differently. You can't get a different viewpoint. He's already settled and established the truth of his word, and we thank God for it. But this subject I want to deal with tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel. And we're talking on that very subject of honor. Why is it so important in the hour we live in? And I don't know if any of you watched the debate last night, the infamous debate, but it was just an example of a generation that is all about themselves, that's pointed inward, about me. What's in it for me? There's very few people nowadays in the world that are saying, how can I help someone else? How can I lift up my brother? But most people now are very selfish. The Bible talks about this, said that men in the last days would be lovers of self more than lovers of God. So you have to understand the time and the generation that we're in. That doesn't mean it's hopeless or without hope. But as brother, my precious brother Drake there, Justin, was testifying, God is looking. The Bible says the earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Isn't that powerful? To know that the world is waiting on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you to every man that asketh of thee. We got to be ready in this hour. And even the most unsuspecting person, a person you thought they'll never come to the Lord, you'll find that if you'll live the life, if you'll be that vessel of honor, God will use you to transform the life. Look what he did in the life of a Saul of Tarsus. The one who killed Christians was now transformed. Wrote 3/4 of the New Testament that we read, that we share in the gospel. But let's move here. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Let's go to chapter 2. Just to give you a little backstory here, this is dealing with the house of Eli. And Eli was a priest. As you know, in those days, the priest had was given specific instructions and how to handle the sacrifices and how to handle the fire of God, to make sure that the fire of God, the flame of God, didn't go out in the temple. They didn't offer up strange fire. They watched over the offerings and made sure that the oblations that were given, the sacrifices, were acceptable. And they were the monitors. They were the anointed vessel between the people and God at that moment, the mediator, if you would, at that point, to bring a sacrifice that was pleasing to the Lord, to offer atonement for sin, to offer a sacrifice for the people. And the background here is we have two sons of Eli, Hophnias and Phinehas. And the thing about Hophnias and Phinehas, and I dare to say it, I believe they got a little too comfortable with the house of God, with the things of God. They lacked honor. They lacked the discretion to how they handled the holy things. We must never forget, and I thought this morning, you know, Brother Justin was talking about, that scripture just leapt off the pages that we read in Psalm this morning, and how the Lord has, the countless thoughts that he has towards me. That scripture we read, it talked about as the sand in the sea is his. I thought, God's got that many thoughts for Don Jersey. I was a little selfish. It was all about me this morning. He has that many thoughts for Don Jersey. He'd been thinking all night, countless thoughts about me, about what he wants to do in my life, where he wants to take me to, how he wants to use me. I don't want to be, I want you sharing it too, because that goes for you as well. He's not a respecter of person. God has plans and purposes for each and every one of us. Don't ever count it a small thing to serve the God we serve. But I think sometimes we get a little too comfortable with the things of God. You know, we serve a holy God. We serve a God who is the God of all creation. I think about who he is, and I thought about the fact, and I'm not talking about titles we give honor, as the Bible says, to whom honor is due. But I thought about it. Brother Steve, if we walked into this room and all of a sudden you heard somebody say, "Hey, Donald," you probably wouldn't even flinch, would you? Somebody's yelling at their buddy. But if that buddy just happened to be, hello, hey, Mr. President Donald Trump, I think every head would all sudden, whether you like him or not, your head would turn. Why is that? Because you bestow upon someone the honor that's due them. Why do I say that? Because honor is taught in how we handle the things of God, how we handle his word, how we handle the house of God. I just think it's such an awesome privilege to come into a place like this. It's not the prettiest building. We keep it as clean as we do, but we don't have crystal chandeliers and we don't have fine gold goblets in here. As you see in some pristine palaces around the world, I think of the Sistine Chapel and some of the beautiful facilities around the world. But I think that the God of glory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, would choose to make his dwelling among his people. Does that not just blow your mind? And I think we've lost a little bit of that. I think we have services sometimes, and I'm not condemning this house, but I think just as the body of Christ, I think sometimes we take lightly the things of God, the plans and purposes of God, or just his presence. Brother Ryan, can you imagine the Lord, the King of glory, the King of the universe, 3 o'clock in the morning, he comes to your bedside, says, Ryan, I'd like to talk to you. And you say, not now, Lord. I'm tired. It's been a long week. Come back later, Lord. Like the Song of Solomon, where the woman's lover came knocking at the door and she tarried. She waited with her. She laid in bed. She hit the snooze button. A little bit longer, he stayed. He knocked at the door, longing to receive her to him. I think of the parable of the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins. They all were waiting on the master to return. But somehow 5 of them had lost the oil. They'd lost the fuel to their fire. You know, I love young converts. I love new people that have been born again because they've got zeal. They're zealous, and I love that. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever tell anybody to rain. Don't let them rain on your parade. You keep that zeal. You keep running with the fire of God and just say, God, give me more. Like a song tonight, you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. Just keep your life on the altar, and he'll continually fuel you with fire. But let's go to the scripture. I'll just give you a background of it. But in verse 27, it says, there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer up upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord say, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Such a powerful scripture. You see a whole house that was devoted to the things. If you understand the Levitical priesthood, it operated from father to son and right down through the generation. He said, just like he told David under the kingship, he said that it would not depart from your house. So the house of David would rule and reign, and we know that Jesus came out of the house of David. So that prophecy was fulfilled. But here you have a man named Eli. The Bible says his eyes began to grow dim as he grew older. He heard the murmurings. He heard the things of how his children were handling the things of God. And as someone who was there, he saw the fire of God. He saw the presence of God, the delivering power of God. he understood it. It doesn't say that Eli participated in these things, but he tolerated these things. Why am I saying this? It's not a condemning message. I think of, you know, John Bevere has a book called The Awe of God. And I think somewhat we've lost that a little bit in this generation. You know, people used to just seek the presence of God. People would just shake under the power of God. When the presence of God would come into a room, people would fall prostrate. There would be nobody in the house flipping on their phone, thinking about their groceries or where they're going for lunch. I've been guilty before. You could just say, Brother Don, that applies to you. If it don't apply to you, to me, I'll take it. Because I want to be corrected in these areas where I've missed or I've fallen short. I don't want to ever take for granted the presence of God, the power of God, the glory of God. If you'll honor the Lord, and I love it, he said, those that honor me, I will honor them. You know, God wants to elevate your platform. Krista, that was the word for you tonight. To elevate you, promotion, far above what you could think or ask. God's not called you to blend in. He says, come out from amongst them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. God's called the body of Christ, the church, to be different. He said, you're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. What kingdom do you belong to? And how do you carry that kingdom with you? Is it displayed in your lifestyle? Is it displayed in your tongue? Is it displayed in your very approach? When you come into this place and into this house, is your heart prepared to meet with the King? I think Pastor Randy, you were talking about, or maybe it was Pastor Brad, about the scepter, how that they would extend the scepter. And if he didn't extend that scepter, he could lop your head off instead. You didn't walk into the King's presence. And the truth of the matter is, again, I think sometimes I was even looking up the definition of honor in the English. My brother David's not here tonight, but in the English, honor spelled H-O-N-O-U-R. In English, it's in America, it's H-O-N-O-R. But their idea of what honor is, you know, they have a kingship over there in England. They understand the royalty. They understand what that office represents. America, we have democracy. We have a Republican. We have Democratic. We have independence. We have whatever you want to be. But we represent that in our government, but it's always for the people, of the people, by the people. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. Is that news to you? It's called a theocracy. Whew. I pray this touch your heart tonight, and I pray the Lord would help me convey it, because it's not a condemning message at all. When we understand the lordship of Jesus Christ, even Pastor Miranda, she's been teaching on grace and what God did at Calvary, how the grace that was afforded us, what has been bestowed upon us. Pastor Brad has talked about, I've bestowed upon you a kingdom. His kingdom has been placed. We're not of this world. Look at your neighbor and say, you're an alien. Say that in a kind way. You are. You're not of this world. You're not just fitting in until you get taken out of the way. You represent the kingdom of heaven. You're an ambassador of Christ. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Oh, if we could just stop thinking so low. The Bible says, set your affection on things above, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If we could carry it, you think you're giving this to a church, you've missed the whole reason of the offering. You really have. Because if you're not honoring the Lord with it, well, Pastor Brad, you should know how much I give in the offering. You know, I'm one of the biggest givers here. They told me so at King's. That's not why I give. I give to the Lord that which pleases him, that which he asks of me. And then, you know what's so nice is above the tithe, I can give a little bit more. I can give an offering. It's not even subject. It's not even open for discussion. If you want to be part of the kingdom, that's just natural. It blows my mind. I thought, I want to be a part of his kingdom. I don't work for Wall Street. I don't work for Saks Fifth Avenue, so I can't go reap benefits where I'm not invested, right? I can't walk down here and go to a JCPenney's and pretend I'm an employee and try to get employee benefits. I'm not activated in that kingdom. But I'm part of the army of God. I'm part of his kingdom. And being a child of God and obeying his word and honoring the Lord in these things. The Bible says, honor the Lord with all thy substance and the first fruits. So if you look at it as when you're part of the kingdom of God, you're just a steward of everything that he's entrusted you with. Why would you not want to partake in that? It's the very thing that unlocks the windows of heaven, that opens up the windows of heaven, pours us out a blessing. We don't have room. And why? What's it for? For me to get fat and happy and full of money? It's so that the kingdom can be advanced. So that his kingdom, the gospel, this gospel be preached to all the world as a witness. As we honor the Lord with our substance, as we give to him, not a tainted sacrifice, not our leftovers, but the very best. I challenge you in that. Don't give in fear. Don't give in apprehension. Well, if I give my last 10, what a wonderful testimony. The young man that was in transformation. I don't know if I could have done that. Give my last $10 and I ain't got a roof over my head? That's a sacrifice. But his heart was moved. He wanted to be involved in kingdom business. Amen? Hallelujah. Honor instead should be outward expression of the heart. The Bible says in Matthew, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 15:8, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. David said, it created me a clean heart, Lord. That's what the word of God does. It talks about the washing of the water of the word. How much do you honor his word? How much do you honor prayer? You hear these things, well, that's just what Kings does. Them guys pray all the time, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock. People jumping on all the time, join me in prayer. I mean, just it's almost like a cult. It's a prayer cult, I tell you. No, it's honoring the Lord. My, what a wonderful privilege it is. You know, I said that this morning, that sweet hour of prayer. What a privilege. It's the biggest thing the enemy will fight you on and keep you distracted or deterred from. But when you engage into it, I know that I can go to a place in prayer where he meets me. And where he meets me, there's honor that's given to him. I honor your word, Lord. You've magnified it above your name, Lord. I honor your presence today, Lord. And because I choose to honor you, and I come boldly because I'm a part of your kingdom, what happens? Glory's released. He said, I'll honor those that honor me. You want more? How many want more honor in your life? I'm not talking about titles and position. I'm talking about honor. You say, well, brother, I just want to be a humble little me. No, that's not what God's called you. He called Daniel and his fellow servants to stand above. They were more excellent than their fellows, right? You're called to stand out, to stand apart. That the favor of God, the blessing of God would be upon your life. Kali, there's so much more. So much more. And he's drawing you out. You'll go where no other, where some others won't go. Because you'll purpose in your heart. The Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. That's where it starts. But it comes from a hunger. A thirst for the things of God. Out of his word will come revelation. Out of revelation will come the release of the anointing. He'll anoint you with fresh oil. Sanctified, separate, set apart. Why are you trying to look like the world? That's what probably been the problem with the church for the past decade. It said the church looks more like the world and the world looks more like the church. What an insult to the King of Kings. Hallelujah. That word honor means to favor, to value, to appreciate, to respect, to love and cherish. I think of Brother Ryan, you're getting ready to get married. I know Brother Zephan's getting ready to get married. You'll hear those vows to honor and to cherish one another. Those are kingdom words. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband. Why? Because he's large and in charge? No. Because you're submitting yourself to the lordship of Jesus Christ over your home. It's not hard. It's one of the toughest words that people deal with is submission to authority. And here's the thing about it. I was talking about the flesh just a little bit ago, right? If I say, Sister Jamie, you need to submit to this. You need to submit to eating chocolate donuts and ice cream with me after church, okay? You feel like you can submit to that, sister? That's not submission. I'll submit if it's okay with me. Submission has to do with not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Submission means I really don't want to do it in the flesh. I don't want to get up at 6 a.m. and pray every day. But therefore, submitting yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The power of submission shows honor. How about when your pastor says, gives you advice? Pastor, what should I do? Now, I know you guys have never had this before. Not in this church. I'm preaching to the people on the tape. Pastor, what should I do? And they go and do the complete opposite. You've warned them. You prayed about it. You sought the Lord. Let me seek the Lord. Let's fast and pray over this. And they go and do the very thing you told them not to do. Is that honor? You know, there's a misnomer in this generation. This is what I really want to get at. Because Hophnius and Phinehas lost that. That's what they lost sight of. And in this generation, it's all about me. And I said selfishness. You see that? But you ever hear this phrase? Well, I put my pants on just like he does. I don't know what makes him so special. Right? Good Lord. But we get that mentality, right? I'm just as good as you, brother. That's not kingdom mentality. God is about promotion. God is about lifting people up, elevating, giving them platform, giving them gifts, giving them a voice. Your pastors aren't, hey, Brad, how you doing there, Brad? Miranda, good to see you tonight. Why do we call them pastors? Because they're a gift from God. The Bible says they watch for your very soul. You think that's light? You think they go home at night and say, it's so easy. Easy like a Sunday morning. They just singing to one another. This flock you give us, Lord, it's so easy. So easy to handle the cares of our church and of our people. I'm not insulting you, but they care. They love. The Bible says the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. They're out battling devils for you. They're on their knees praying and interceding for you. Why? Just like Dr. Morocco says, so you can look good on eternity's day. Hallelujah. Would I not choose to honor that? To give respect to that? If God's placed you in this house, doesn't matter what degree you're at, what level you're at, whether you're old or young or in between, God's placed you under a great pastorship that care for you, that honor the Lord. And because they honor the Lord, God's honoring their platform. Don't ever take lightly. Even the gifts of God that flow into this house, those that speak out into this microphone, they're not here by accident. They're not going to put a wolf up here. They're putting men and women of God that are going to speak into your life, that are going to cause you to be exercised by the word of God, to grow in the things of God, and to cause you to come into full maturity. Amen? That's the plan and purposes of God. But getting back to the honor, do you come with that mindset? Because I'll be honest, I don't always. And I have to pause. I've got to take a moment. I can get distracted. I can come here with the cares of the world and everything that happened during the week, And I just go, yeah, it's time to go meet with the King of Kings. You know, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, two services on Sunday. Good Lord, we got to meet with him three times on Sunday. What's it coming to? They might throw a fourth service in there. What, are you going to live at the church? That's flesh talking. But oh, how sweet his presence is. When we begin to entertain him. What do you mean entertain him? When you begin to cry out to God and he hears the sacrifice of praise coming out of your heart, he receives that. The Bible says it's a sweet smelling savor. And then here's the best part. He inhabits the praises of his people. God comes down. I love one scripture. It actually, the translation says, when our praise, we give God the highest praise. It says he gets up off of his throne and begins to spin, Sister Amanda. Is that awesome? That this little, weak, frail human being can get the attention of God Almighty. And he's moved by that. He loves us so dearly. And you know, I think of so many times, he loved me when I was unlovable. God chose to honor me even though I was dishonorable. Isn't that powerful? Why? Because he saw me as his very own. He saw, you're not, I can't say it enough, you're not ordinary. You're a child of the Most High God. Jesus is my elder brother. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what's great about the family of God. You know, when I first met the Hawaiians, you know, they have a culture that they honor. You know, and Tyler will tell you, I'm glad he's here tonight, but Tyler is not my flesh and blood. But he calls me Uncle Don. Did I tell you had to call me that? But I've been in his life for a long time. And I don't say I earned it, but he bestowed that title upon me. He said, you're just like an uncle to me. You're like family to me. Because I've cared for him. I've prayed over him. I've watched him. I've encouraged him. I've cried with him. I've rejoiced with him. What an honor that was. To know that somebody who's not even my flesh and blood. And then Kalai and Minister Lehow and Precious Hawaiians. Brother Jesse and Sister Christine came along. And they started calling me Uncle. Uncle Don and Auntie Bev. And Brother Minister Lehow works, he worked for us there for a period. And one of my friends at work, she'd get mad. Why is he calling you Uncle Don? You're not his uncle. I said, they call everybody that's older than me. It's a term of respect. I'm not going to correct him. But I thought, what an honor it is that you see. But you know what? They didn't see me as an outsider. I don't think you guys have ever called me a Howley, at least not to my face, right? That's not a bad word. That's just, you know, that's a tourist, right? One that's not part of the group. But they welcomed GM. There was an honor that was bestowed. Why? Because they valued something in me. They valued something in their elders and those who have gone before them and paved a way before them. There's something about when you take time, I don't care who it is, if somebody's older than me, I'm going to honor them. I'm going to take time to listen to them, to draw from them, to draw from their experiences. They've learned a lot more than I have in my lifetime. But when you honor, if you honor a person, you can't receive, listen, you might want to write this down too. You can't receive from someone if you don't honor them. That's where it's cut off. And that's what the Lord's saying right there. I will honor those that honor me. And that's just Pastor Brad. And that's just Brother Don. What do? You're devaluing. You're lightly esteeming that gift that God gave you. I'm not telling you, Brother Don, what shirt should I wear today? Has the Lord spoken to you? No. But when there's spiritual matters and things that God is moving and transforming our lives into, when God has placed leaders and spiritual advisors over you in your life, receive from them. You'll grow leaps and bounds. I don't know anyone. I can say this, and I'm 51 years old. I don't know anyone in my lifetime that I have ever met who's successful in ministry that didn't submit themselves to a father or mother in the faith and serve them. Elisha, Elijah, double portion. You know, I think about it. You know, he said, "You've asked a hard thing." But what was God asking him to do? You know, just follow him around. He was honoring him everywhere he went. Elijah would turn around and say, "Elisha, stay here. I got to go to Gilgal. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. I'm with you. I got your back. There ain't no enemy going to take you out before your time. I'm here. I'm supporting you. I want to hear from you. I want to learn from you. I want to watch everything that you do." See, the time came because he had submitted himself to the godly authority that the Lord placed into his life, that when that mantle came down, first of all, he was grieved that his father was gone. See, there was a relationship. Was Elisha Elijah's son? No. But he said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And that mantle comes down. And all of a sudden, he picks that mantle up. And he's not walking in the confidence of who he thinks he is and all of his accolades, because he didn't have any up to that point. But he was walking in the things that he had learned, the impartation that he had received. He was trusting in the Lord that if I see him when he goes, if I watch his life, if I study and examine him, if I show my and serve and honor the anointing upon his life, that same anointing can be imparted into my life. So when he picked up that mantle, he didn't pick it up in the confidence of Elisha. He said, "The Lord God of Elisha." And he smote the waters and the waters parted. And he walked on the other side. And it said all those prophets, were they following him around to Gilgal and to Bethel and to the other places? No, it was just one man, Elisha. It says all those prophets looked upon it and saw that the spirit of Elijah rested upon Elisha. God sets this up and he orchestrates it so wonderfully. How many want to be anointed? Do you want to be anointed? You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it with head knowledge. You can fill yourself up with Bible and argue with nincompoops all day long about what is, you know, what theologians believe. There's something. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I want an anointing on my life that'll cause demons to flee. When you get up in the morning, they say, "Oh, God, he's up again. I was hoping he wouldn't get out of bed today." That's the kind of anointing I want upon my life. But it comes from the honor of the Lord. If I don't honor him, if I count lightly, that's the worst thing. You think about the story, you guys know, probably know it, but the story of Jacob and Esau, right? The two brothers. Jacob was a deceiver. I'm not giving him kudos for that, but his brother had been out hunting all day. And I'm thinking, a day, Pastor, one day, right? One day he was out hunting. And he comes home starving to death. You ever, your kids ever come home? LaDonna, your kids ever come home and say, "I'm starving to death"? I got a teenage son. He's on life support. He's chained himself to the refrigerator. No leftovers. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to have to either invest in another refrigerator. Can I leave stuff at your house, sister? That Thai food. I was believing God. Anyway, it's gone. I sewed it into my son, unwillingly, but hey, it went in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whew. Isn't he precious? So precious. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Lightly esteemed. Esau, he comes home famished, like he gonna die because he been out a whole day with nothing to eat. And here's Jacob over there, probably just blowing that. You smell that? That's my stew. Got a nice bowl of Denny Moore's beef stew or whatever he had in there. Just got it cooking, oh, smelling good. His brother over there, oh, brother, give me some of that. I'm going to die if I don't get something to eat. Come on, give me some of that. Give me your birthright. What's a birthright? Very important, very significant. It literally told that Esau got certain rights that only the firstborn got. Oh, got certain privileges, got certain blessings that the secondborn didn't get. Jacob knew that. He had a pot of victuals ready for him there. And here's Esau. Oh, you want my birthright? What is that to me? He took his stomach over an inheritance. Hophnius and Phinehas took pleasures in the flesh and took lightly the things of God and esteemed them so insignificant and so unimportant that it caused their demise. The Bible says God said about Esau and Jacob, he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Whew, that's strong words. May it never be said about us that we would despise the things of God. It's a serious message. Like I said, I'm not trying to come across in a condemning. I hope you don't receive it that way. But I want to take the importance of the things of God and the reverence of God. That's what the fear of the Lord. You know, I used to be, you know, I remember that I read that sermon that Jonathan Edwards preached, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. What a powerful message, but man, it just makes you think you're hanging, dangling over the pit of hell. At any moment, those very tiny strings that you're holding on to, he can just cut them and you'll plummet into hell. But there was a reverence for God. There was a holiness in those days. And you say, Brother Don, that's back in the old days. God's not a respecter of persons. If he required something of his people then that requirement would be unjust for him to require less of you and I. More power, more prayer. No power, no prayer. It's the prayer, just a minute. It's the prayer of God, the prayer of a people of God that will seek him. Early in the morning will I say, why did he say that? It's when you get up and you don't feel like it. I'll be honest with you. You know, people say, man, you were on fire this morning. Like I was out running a 5K and doing jumping jacks. I jumped out of bed when that alarm went off, and it went off 3 minutes before I was supposed to pray this morning. So I was dependent upon the Holy Spirit this morning. But you know what? If you'll honor me, all I did this morning was honor his word. Was honor the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. I thought, God, I didn't get up a half hour early. I didn't write down all my points and didn't fast and pray the night before. What should I pray about in the morning? But you're so good. Because he said, if you'll make room for me, if you'll prepare a place for him, he'll come and he'll make his abode. It's that place of prayer. It's that place of fasting sometimes. And when you come into this house, don't come nonchalantly. Come with the thought, I'm meeting the King today. The King of, not just a King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's whose presence we're entertaining. Even now as we receive his word, these words are not just simple words on a page, but they're spirit and life. If I honor this word, and Lord, you magnified your word above your name. When that word of God comes out of whoever's mouth, I receive that word. I honor that word. That word has place in my heart. I give it permission to transform me, Lord, even if I don't agree with it. Even though if it upsets me, even if it contradicts my natural way of thinking, I give the word of God preeminence. I give it first place in my life. There's something about that. And then the precious part, when you let that word permeate your heart and get settled, I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Amen? Then what happens? The Holy Spirit comes along and says, I'll watch over that word. I'll activate it. It'll become more than just a spoken word. It'll become a living word, a word that produces power, that produces results in our lives. Mr. Lehow, if you'll come to the keyboard. I told you I had so much in this. Here's the thing about honor, and I say this again. I'm not about titles, but we thank God. If Dr. Morocco comes here, I don't go, "Hey Doc, how's it hanging, Mr. Morocco? How you and the missus doing? How you and your old lady doing?" I hope you cut that out, because that could be used against me, incriminating. Let me hear how you talk about your senior pastor when he's not around. No, instead, I understand that he's an apostle. He's a doctor, not because he just earned it on paper, but because of his experience and his encounter. He's probably spent more hours in the presence of God than maybe all this room combined. Over 50 years of ministry, imparting into the lives, so many churches, so many lives transformed by his life and ministry. I want to honor that. I want to sow to that. If you want to get a gift, sow to a gift. Sow into the lives of the people in this house that sow into you. When you hear a word from this pulpit, we don't have buffets here. Eat all you want and don't leave a tip. But it's precious. It's by divine assignment, each and every word, even this word. I just ask you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And what I would ask is, Lord, is there any place in my life where I've not honored you? Where I'm doing my own thing? I'm not saying you're backslidden or away from the Lord. I'm just saying maybe you just kind of doing it my way. Frank Sinatra had that famous song, "I Did It My Way." I don't want to stand before the Lord one day and say, "Lord, I was just trying to do it my way." There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it is the ways of death. If I'll honor the Lord, if I'll honor his word, if I'll honor him in prayer, if I'll honor his house and the precious, what about honoring one another? You know, many of you will hear me. I call you brothers and sisters because you're part of my family. Red, yellow, black, and white, it don't matter. You're all part of my family. And I thank God for each one of you. You encourage me. You strengthen me. I need you. I miss you when you're not here. Our pastors miss you when you're not here. Why? Because there's an honor that's bestowed upon this house. I'm not saying we're a special church, but we're a church that chooses to honor others. We don't badmouth other churches. We don't badmouth other ministries. We don't talk bad about people. We don't carry your dirt and rub your nose in your sin. We celebrate your life. We celebrate your victories. We cry with you when you cry. We mourn with you when you mourn. We rejoice when you rejoice. We celebrate the victories. That's the honor of God. We talk about a culture of honor. It's important that you never lose sight of this. You're not an individual. You're not here by yourself. You're connected to something much bigger than you could ever think or imagine. And guess what? It's growing because we're multiplying. And guess what we can multiply? Those things we hold dear. It'll be 12, then it'll be 24, then it'll be 48, then it'll be 100 people on a prayer call. How is that? He's not looking for numbers. He's looking for unity. Behold how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell, to stand to your feet tonight, to dwell together in unity. For there I've commanded the blessing. Even life evermore. He said it's like the precious dew that ran down Mount Hermon, that flowed through Aaron's beard. Aaron was a priest. Something about it. You connect yourself to a man or woman of God. Don't be afraid to call your pastors and say, "Pastor, I've been here for a while. Is there anything you see in my life that I should work on, I should change. You say, well, yet I don't go to man, I go to God. Well, who knows you better? God, of course, but you don't think he speaks to the pastors about his people? Encouraging them, strengthening them. They're here for your good. Amen. Like I said, they're not going to get all up in your personal business, telling you what you should buy and what car you should drive. But there's something about honoring them. You say, and I could preach on dishonor and the levels of dishonor, how it comes. You know, the funny thing, you can see it in church. One of the first levels of dishonor is ignoring. Maybe you didn't mean to. But what do you do, Pastor, when you don't see somebody in church? Ask seven people, do you know what they're up to? Does anybody got the scoop? No, he gets on the phone. Hey, just calling to tell you I love you. We missed you. Is there anything I can pray? Anybody ever got that phone call? I've got the visit before. Thank God he cares enough about me. I missed you this morning. You feeling all right? Everything okay? What a privilege it is to be a part of a body that cares about you, that desires to see you growth. What, that's a culture of honor. And if you release that to them, well, you say, let your pastor know. Tell him I receive that. Take notes sometimes. Brother Stephen, Brother Justin, there's a reason. They take notes. Many times I hear Brother Stephen driving down the road. That's good, Brother. I'm going to write that down. And I said, Brother, that's Holy Ghost. He just draw. He's like a, he'll draw it out of you. And that's the wonderful thing. When you pull on the anointing, there's a release into your life. As every head is bowed in this place, first and foremost, maybe you're here tonight under the sound of my voice and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Said, I went to church and maybe I was christened as a child, or church used to be a part of my life, but it's never been an effective part of my life. I really can't say that I know Jesus Christ in this personal way, that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my sins are washed away and that I'm forgiven, and that there's not one sin between me and a holy God. And as you talk about honoring God tonight, I want to honor him in that way, by receiving him and the fullness of what Christ did at Calvary in my life. If that's you, I'm not going to count down. Just shoot a hand up in the air and say, pray for me tonight. I want to accept Christ and all that he has afforded with his suffering at Calvary. Hallelujah. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Don't deny him tonight. If he's pulling on your heart, you say, you know what? I'm convicted. I know there's sin in my life. It's not to embarrass you. He's wanting to take you higher. He's wanting to elevate you. How does that come? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, believe in thy heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. I have one regret in my life. I didn't ask him a day sooner. It's the only regret I have. Amen. And lastly, if you're in this house and under the sound of my voice, and you say, Brother Don, as you were preaching, the Holy Spirit was really convicting me about areas where I've not really honored the Lord. And I want to do better. I want help. I want to repent. The Bible says repentance must start in the house of God. If there's an area in your life, this is not condemning. We're going higher, amen? Wherever we're missing it and there needs to be correction, we're going to do it in Jesus' name. If that's you, just come down to the altar tonight and say, I'm laying it on the altar tonight. I'm surrendering my all. I want to honor him with everything that is within me. I don't want church to be ordinary ever again. I don't want to come in with the mindset that it's just another service. It's just a midweek service. Only God came down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. Talk to him.